My next guest has been a fixture in Chicago theater for decades. Vicky Quadi is one of the co-creators of Late Night Catechism, one of the long-running comedies about nuns and Catholic school. Continues in Chicago. But Vicky has a new project called Holy Ghost Bingo, God, Goblins, and Games. It's a Halloween-themed comedy bingo event that starts this Friday and runs for 6 weeks at the Royal George Theater. And also a de facto member of the WGN family, the author of the book I Remember Bob Collins, Vicky Quadi. Great to see you. Thanks for being in studio.
Oh, my God. Thank you for having me.
It's great. Do you get nostalgic about putting on a new show? Do you just get super excited about doing it? Or do you get to this point where you're a couple days out and you're like, oh, why did I do this again?
Oh, no. No. In order to keep... to keep going, you can't just have one show. You know, you have to keep doing more things. Because it's theater, and X number of people have seen Late Night Catechism, so you just have to keep coming up with new material.
I was going to say, I will buy that from any other theater professional in this country. But for you, you were blessed with a hit. I mean, you could have done Late Night Catechism for 100 years.
Oh, and it continues. It's in its 26th year. Right, the 26th year. But you still have to provide more. You know, you can't just live on the one show.
So what is this show? Tell me about why do a Halloween-themed show?
Well, first of all, I love Halloween. You know, I grew up loving it. And now Halloween and Christmas are your two biggest holidays, right? And also there's a lot of Catholicism in Halloween. People don't realize that. They think, oh, Catholics and Halloween, it doesn't mix.
Right,
but
pagans and stuff.
Not true.
Right? Not true.
Not true at all.
How so? I mean, I would never put the two together. I would think maybe...
You will learn once you come to my show, but I'll explain it here. Halloween is part of the trilogy. It's a trinity. It started as a pagan, festival, which was all about darkness, and it was the end of the harvest, and the months of darkness were coming, early darkness. And so that festival was all about dancing and celebrating and bonfires, and I mean, fabulous, right? Who wouldn't go to that? But then the Catholic Church came in and switched it all off, and all the fun went out of it, and it became all about saints and souls and also then Hallmark got involved in it, got to be candy and cards.
And here we are today.
And here we are,
2019.
So here we are. But it's a trilogy. It's the beginning of that celebration. So you have All Hallows Eve or Halloween. And then the next day, November 1st, is All Saints Day. Mm-hmm. And then the second is All Souls Day. So very religious.
Hmm. Do you find yourself gravitating to doing theater with religious themes? Obviously that's a big part of your life, and Late Night Catechism has been that. But do you find yourself, when you want to do a new show or do something that you want to play around with religion?
I do. In fact, even when I've created shows that have nothing to do with religion, I think, how could I put a nun in here? Maybe I could have a nun character over here. So, yeah, I gravitate to it. But, it's only because I was born on a holy day of obligation. My birthday is August 15th.
Yay! I love that birthday.
It's the same as yours.
Yeah, that's right.
Exactly. And when I was little, my mother took us to church. I had to go to Mass every year on my birthday because it was a holy day. You had to go. And so here I am. I'm in first grade. I'll never forget this. Like it was yesterday. A girl in our class, I was in school maybe 2 weeks, and a girl in the class had a birthday, and I turned to her and said, oh, you must be going to church tomorrow. And she looked at me like, what? Nobody goes to church on their birthday. And I thought, well, I do.
I do.
And I went home and I said to my mom, why do I have to go to Mass? And she said, well, because you're special.
Hmm. I never got that speech. I might say a lot about my family that I never knew that that was a holy day of obligation. And now I know. I'm 45 years old. Yeah.
Well, you come to Mass with me.
That's right. From here on out, I will be with you.
But I was given two things to make up for it, because by then, by the age of six, she knew, the whole jig was up, right? I knew what was going on. So she said, okay, you go to Mass every year on your birthday. You can go to a movie, and we can go out to Chinatown.
Hmm.
And so, you know what? To this day, I eat Chinese food on my birthday.
Oh, that's great.
So
the work that you've done, Late Night Catechism, of course, and other subsequent shows, you do have the religious theme, but it's also rooted in And I think it's been successful because it's rooted in history, and it's rooted in something that, that people, it's almost nostalgia, and the fact that people want to go and they want to experience the the nun, or they want to experience a bit of their childhood.
Right.
What do you think that's about? Do you think that that's a normal theater-going audience, or do you think that that plays to a bigger sort of mainstream audience that, that wants to live their childhood?
Oh, no. I think it's a bigger mainstream audience. We get people who have never gone to theater before, because they do want to relive. They want to go back to third grade. And all of my shows are smart. I do a lot of research. So, yes, there's history involved. But I'm going after that nostalgia. I want you to experience what that was like for you. And if you never had a nun, you know what the nuns were like. You had a tough teacher, or you were fascinated with those nuns. So you want to get a little bit, just a little glimpse of what that was like for everybody.
I always wonder, because you write these shows, and that's you write, you direct, you produce these shows. These shows are very immersive. They're shows not unlike the Tony and Tina's Wedding, where they're interactive with the audience. They play a lot of the stuff is bouncing off of of who's in the second, third row. As a writer, how do you write that? How do you put that together? Is that just relying on who's playing the character at the time, or is that is there a secret to success? Is there a formula behind it?
There's no formula, but I do. I appear in all the bingo shows. So I'm on stage, and you sort of get a feel for asking questions. Who here is Catholic? Where are the non-Catholics? That'd be the rest of you. Raise your hands. What are you? And you just sort of start getting to know people. Who's that woman sitting next to you? Oh, you're dating. How long? 10 years. You know, and then you just start to play off of them.
Do you like, you know, because you've played, you've really worn all the hats in theater. Do you like being on stage? Is that something that
I do like it?
You do.
I do. I like being on stage because it is scary, and you don't know what you're going to get. You can have the best audience in the world, and you can have crickets out there, and you don't know what is going on. I'm doing the same material. So it's fabulous. It's a scary, wonderful, and to get that laughter, to get that you know you've touched somebody is great.
The character in this, of course, in Holy Ghost Bingo is Miss Mary Margaret O'Brien, and this is the character. This is the character that you have really had much success with.
Right.
Putting her in this scenario where she's talking about Halloween and talking about bingo, what can we expect that's different than what we've seen from her before?
Okay, so Mrs. O'Brien is a former nun. And my backstory about her is that she, and I used to talk about it, but I started to not talk about it just because I thought it didn't really add anything. My backstory is that she was a nun. She was at the a Halloween dance, actually, and some man came up to her and said, "Would you like to dance?" And she said, "Oh, I'm not. I'm a real nun." And then dancing with him, she fell in love with him and had to think what to do now. And so she left the sisterhood, married this man, and now he's gone, and she's gone back to the church. So that's my
backstory. That's your backstory. That's not given
my
to the audience. That's your backstory.
I used to give it to the audience in the very early, because I started doing Bible Bingo in 2011, and people will ask me. They are curious, and if they do, I will tell them that backstory.
How important is it for you, not just as a performer but a writer, to have that backstory, to use that backstory when you're in the show?
It's very much, because she has always been a woman of faith, and she has the background of being a nun. So she has that teaching and stern attitude, but she's also lived a life. So I can open her up more. What's really beautiful about her is that she appeals way beyond that Catholic audience. Mm-hmm. So I get people who are, well, Christian, Lutheran, Presbyterian, Baptist. I've had Jewish, Muslim, people who say they're atheists. And I'm like, really? You're coming to a show called Bible Bingo and you're an atheist?
Sure, why not? Why not?
You know, a lot of non-denominational. So really just opening it up. And these are people who I think would not come to see a nun. But they want the religion. They want the experience, because they've had their own religious experiences.
Sure.
And they want to laugh. And the shows are all clean. It's good humor. So they like that.
Yeah. It's something fun to watch your face when you explain the backstory of Mrs. O'Brien. There's a smile on your face. Yeah. And, you know, there's an old adage about you know, as you create characters, do you create them to love those characters? Do you have to love them? Do you have to hate them? When you think about the character, inhabiting the character of Miss O'Brien, do you love that character, or do you feel a connection to it?
I do. I do very much. I also just last week did a little 30-minute bit of entertainment at St. Joseph's Hospital in full habit for their chaplain, who's retiring, Father Ted. And he hired me. He said, would you come and do this? I just want to do a little surprise. Well, walking into a Catholic hospital in full nun's habit really takes a different tone.
Yeah, right.
It's a different step. You walk differently. You react to people differently. Very different than Mrs. O'Brien. So I realize and have realized that they are two distinct characters.
Interesting. Vicky Quadi is my guest. We've been calling you a stalwart all night. Chicago Theater stalwart, Vicky Quadi. She's one of the co-creators of Late Night Catechism, one of the long-running comedies here in Chicago, but also her new show, Holy Ghost Bingo, God, Goblins, and Games. It's a Halloween-themed show, which is going to be at the Royal George starting this Friday for a six-week run. You can find all that information online. All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll come back more with Vicky Quadi here on Extension 720. Stay with us. Extension 720 rolling along here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. In studio with me, Vicky Quadi. She's one of the co-creators of Late Night Catechism. She's got a new show called Holy Ghost Bingo, God, Goblins, and Games. Vicky, I've been kind of having fun with the idea of you being a stalwart in Chicago, because this show has run for a long time and you've been a big part of the theater community here in Chicago. And you think about a show like Holy Ghost Bingo, or even Late Night Catechism for that matter.
Sure.
Is, with the climate the way it is, and it's not 1993 anymore, would a show like that work? Would Chicago want to produce something like that?
Oh, it would work. It just wouldn't run for 26 years like it has.
Why not?
Well, you know, 1993 was kind of a special year in Chicago. Late Night Catechism is a one-character show. It's a one-woman show. And there were lots of one-character shows happening that year.
Hmm.
And I think people were open to it. Also, don't forget, those were the Clinton years. People had money. And there wasn't as much competition as there is now.
Yeah.
There are so many different theater companies. So here we were. We were a little tiny show, and we ran at literally 11 o'clock at night. And it just took off because a religious comedy that was true to its source material. That was another thing.
It had to be authentic, right?
It was authentic. We weren't laughing, dancing. We weren't mean-spirited.
It wasn't a parody.
It wasn't a parody. We tried to make that character as real as possible, and that really resonated with people.
Well, the show, when you think about that show, and it is always, I mean, in the mid-90s, I remember, you know, doing theater myself, how Late Night Catechism was constantly at the top of the must-see lists or the long-running lists. I mean, it was the ticket in town. Do you believe that beyond it just being 1993, it's really what stand-up is evolving into, this idea of one character on stage, and you see this at comedy clubs now doing a 50-minute show. I mean, there are similarities to see how that happened and what, I guess, stand-ups are doing today.
Right, what evolved. No, that's true, but I don't think a show that featured a nun character would last as long if it opened today. Number one, a lot of our audience has now died out, you know, to be honest, right? It's 26 mm-hmm. years. And the people who remember having a nun, those numbers are down.
Right.
So now we are appealing to people who are sort of fascinated with nuns, you know, the idea of them, not the reality of them, not that they had them, but they were just sort of interested in them.
That's interesting, because you're right. I would think that anyone who might be theater-going age at this point, anywhere as an adult, would have a different experience than, say, people who are going in 1993.
Sure. Well, my kids all had nuns in school, but they were lay nuns. Not lay nuns. They were out of habit. And so they don't know the full habited nun.
Does that change the relationship with the audience? Does it change the jokes? I mean, having an authentic character, you're doing some of the things that are traditional to what the experience would have been.
Right.
Does a younger audience go, I don't get it?
Sometimes, yes, that's exactly right. They were never whacked by a ruler. So then it becomes, give me your hand, I'll show you, you know.
So it helps for the surprise of the joke.
Yeah, right. But the reality of being whacked by a ruler, they don't have that. But they still get it. They get the corporal punishment. The ruler is a big thing. But just getting back to you know, the long-runningness of late-night catechism, you know, really, I think it's that. It was a reasonably priced ticket. It didn't overextend. It was an hour, and at first it wasn't about 75 minutes, and then we put an intermission into it and extended it. But it was always topical, and we kept it topical. And I think that it would be hard-pressed to keep that going if it started today.
Do you, being not just with late-night catechism, but for the bingo shows and the Holy Ghost bingo, do you notice a change in the audience? Because you've had one thing that you've had is you've had a good relationship with the Royal George, in the sense that you do a lot of your shows there, almost
right.
all of it.
All of them.
But do you recognize audiences changing over a 26-year run? Do you see the taste, the trends, the faces, and who's coming to theater change?
Sure. Well, for our shows, I see a younger audience. And I think that's to be expected. I think that a lot of people, it's expensive to go out to theater. Even though our ticket is reasonably priced, you still have to come downtown, you have to pay for parking. You know, and if we're looking at people on a fixed income, all of a sudden it becomes more difficult. That's why we have group discounts. We go to Gold Star.
Yeah, you have to do that.
Tickets are hot tickets. You have to. You know, I have a lot of people who contact me from New York, and they will be coming into town with a show. And they say, I'd love to have coffee with you. And
producers, people who want to put a show on.
Absolutely, yeah. Yes. And then they'll ask me ticket price, and I'll say, well, how much is your ticket? $65. I said, well, then you have to discount that. And they say, oh, no, we're not going to discount. We don't discount. Well, guess what? You're not going to be around much.
I have a funny story. When I was doing Schadenfreude, we went to New York. We did the opposite. And we used to do a show in Rogers Park, and it was $5.
Yeah.
And we'd give away a free beer. Right? That was the idea of a sketch comedy. It was very lowbrow. And we went into New York, and we said, our ticket price is $5. And they said, nobody's going to come. They said, we don't do $5 theater in New York. It's $25 or nobody comes.
Yeah.
Because they say that there's a correlation to that it's not worth it if it's not more money. So it's interesting to see that we kind of had it on the inverse, that people come to you and say it's going to be expensive. You say it's not, it shouldn't be that much, and it was the exact opposite for me.
Yeah. Well, but I think that's true. I think when in New York, you have to charge a little something more, not $500 a ticket, which is, you know,
right.
Sometimes you pay that. I don't pay that, but a lot of people do. I think there is something about the value. You know, when you do a show in New York, they expect that the ticket will cost something.
Mm. Is Chicago a good theater town?
It's great. Fabulous theater town. I think the best, you know, because we don't rely on the big Broadway-style shows. Yes, they're here. If you want to see a Broadway-style musical, you can see it. They're all here. But you just don't get that level of fabulous storefront theater and smaller theaters. I mean, just brilliant work being done here in Chicago.
You have, because of your success with Late Night Catechism, you get a lot of other opportunities, and that might be like you were talking about, even at St. Joe's and other places where you can take a nun character out and, you know, make a living off of doing one character.
Sure.
Is this town good for artists who want to make a living doing theater?
That's a tough one, because I think not. I think you have to have a job. You have to have a second job and then do theater if you're really going to try to make it as an actor or an actress.
Do you think a lot of young people recognize that, or are they like, this is, I'm in, and maybe that's why they move on, because they realize they can't make money here?
I think they can make some money, but they're not going to make enough, I think, to give up a full-time job.
Yeah.
They have to have some sort of other income that actually pays the bills.
The show, Holy Ghost Bingo, God, Goblins, and Games, is Halloween-themed, and it's running for 6 weeks.
Yes.
You could settle something for us right now.
Okay.
Because your show will be running for 6 weeks, so it'll run into November.
Yes.
My brother says he wants to have a Halloween party the Saturday after Halloween.
That's fine.
You think that's okay?
Yeah.
I stood my ground. I was like, I don't think it's okay.
Why?
Because you can't have a costume party where people come over 2 days after Halloween.
Yes, you can. What's the deal?
Well, I just feel like it's over.
It's over. It's done.
It's done. Well, Thursday was the day. You did candy and all that kind of stuff, and you move on.
Well, what about, say, it's Christmas. Would you have a family Christmas 2 days after Christmas? Hmm. 2 or 3 days? The week after Christmas. Don't you still do some celebrating?
Yeah, probably.
Well, then what's the difference?
I don't know. It's just something about the pumpkins. Mm. You got to get out. You got Thanksgiving's on the way. You got to get
Well, I do know what you're talking about, because I always put up a lot of decorations for Halloween, and the very next day they come down.
Yeah, right?
No, it's true. They come down. But I think if you're having a family party, it's okay.
Well, I didn't say anything about a family party. You may be family, but I'm feeling this is a different kind of party.
I brought a little gift for you.
All right, what do you have?
Okay, I'm not suggesting you need it.
Okay.
But, you know, obviously that story just now made me think perhaps you do. This is a get-out-of-hell free card.
Yes, it did. Last chance for salvation, get out of hell free. You can now you can laugh your sins off instead. That's great.
Now, I do have more for your coworkers.
Oh, that's great.
So if any, I'm sure that they're all going to need it.
I'm in for Cochrane tomorrow, so I'll give them to Dave and Mary and everybody in between.
Yeah, Vicky Quadi,
really has done so much for Chicago Theater as a co-creator for Late Night Catechism. Her new show, Holy Ghost Bingo, God, Goblins, and Games, is at the Royal George Theater. In, I guess it's Lincoln Park. Is it across from the Steppenwolf?
Yeah.
Runs for 6 weeks starting this Friday, and check it out. Also, the author of the book, I Remember Bob Collins, which we didn't even really talk about, but he put together a great book to remember Bob Collins after his untimely death.
And at the end of every one of my shows, we do a collection for nuns, for real retired nuns, and we give that money to different orders of nuns.
That's great.
And since we've been doing that, we have collected over $3 million.
Wow.
And we're going to continue it with Holy Ghost Bingo.
Yeah, that's great.
So people can expect that when they come. There'll be a little basket at the end.
Vicky Quadi, a pleasure.
Thank you so much.